Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can come to you, not only in prayer and in word, but we can sing our praises to you. Lord, teach us to pray. Yes, teach us to pray with hearts filled with thankfulness and lives filled with your glory, O God. For you are the one that has saved us from our sin. You are the one who leads us daily as we walk with you. Teach us to pray, O God, that we pray not only for ourselves, but we pray your will be done in our lives and in the lives of those we come in contact with. I pray, O God, you'll be with this service now and help us to see your word and do your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 10 and going on through verse 17. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, do you not, each one of you, on the Sabbath, loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed of this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the good, the glorious things that were done by him. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We see in the Old Testament lesson that God told Israel they would be renewed and that they would have strength. God has told them in other portions of Scripture, "I will take my heart of your heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh," one in which the Holy Spirit can work and teach and you can live the way you should. You see, Israel had not been a nation since way about the times of the Babylonian period, so some 2,000 to 3,000 years. And they weren't a nation again until 1947 or 48, when they were signed, it was signed over, and Israel again became a nation. In the meantime, God has been calling some of his people back. And lately, he's calling them back into his country by the droves. We see that even though the Israelites were scattered throughout the world, that they did not lose their identity. They did not lose the covenant that God had made with Abraham way back. And he says, "It's with you I will make a covenant for my chosen people, to show the world that in loving kindness you can control and do what you should." Yet Satan even came in to God's chosen people and drove them, many, to their own ways of thinking because of their sinful flesh and their sinful bodies. Yet we find that Satan does not have control of our heart and our mind unless we willingly give it to him. We find that God is there. He not only created the heavens and the earth, but he is warning us day by day, and today we see it much in the world around us, that God will be returning soon. Excuse me. And in this, we find the time is very short in which we have to tell our brothers and sisters that unless they come to Christ and they seek him while there's yet time, they repent of their sins and have Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they will not get into heaven. You see in Romans as well as in other parts of Scripture, we find that the carnal mind is enmity against God. And that carnal mind is one in which we do not want to worship God, but we want to worship the things of the world, and the worldly things around us means more to us than living for God or doing his will. We find that God told the Israelites back in Isaiah on the scripture that was read, the time will come when you will have your sins forgiven, and I will blot out all the iniquity because I have scattered you throughout the world, and you have paid the penalty for the sins of your fathers and those before you, that you have paid it in double, and I will therefore cover your sins, and you will be again my chosen people. You will sing for joy. And when we sang that song, Teach Me to Pray, how many of us meant that? How many of us would sing, Lord, teach me to pray? We think we know how, but we don't. You see, our spirit groans within us, and our spirit groans before the throne of God to make the sounds and the groanings in which God wants to get us so our prayers are answered. Many, many times it tells us that in Romans. And we find that if we don't know how to pray, we can come unto God, it tells us in James, and he will teach us, and he will help us to be able to do what God wants us to do. We find that this woman who was under the bondage of sin and Satan, Jesus said, had put her into bondage where she was bent over for 18 years. We call it osteoporosis today many times, or we can call it something wrong with the spinal cords. But yet, Jesus said, for 18 years, this woman was under the bondage of Satan, and Satan had bent her over that she could not do what she wanted. Yet, Christ healed her body. And Christ healed her, and what did she do? She glorified God. And as she glorified God, I'm sure she let everybody know that it was a miracle by Jesus Christ. It was one by the Son of the living God, who God had sent into the world to redeem the world, to show the love of God throughout all eternity, and to show the love of God to the chosen people. And yet we read that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They did not recognize him, even though he had created the heavens and the earth. They did not recognize him as a son of God or as God that came down because he loved us so much. He gave his only begotten son for us. We find then Paul writing in Colossians, and I enjoy reading and studying in these verses, not to see what happens to man, but to show that as a Christian, we are not to turn back into the world. We are not to give over to Satan the things that belong to God, but that as Christians, it is our duty and our responsibility to take and stand strong for the Lord. It's time to wake up and to see the nearness of Christ's return. We find the signs of times all the way around us. We find, as we look in the world situation, the things going on and how man has decided that lies were better than the truth, and how man will lie and re-lie and live in those lies to try and get what they want. Not only in the United States, but throughout the world. We find Germany is now starting to move many of their armed forces over into Jordan. And they're saying we want to do it because we have to protect the rest of the world, and that we have to make sure Syria does not become a strong army again and be able to be a world power. Yet we know that if they wanted to take out Assad, they could do it in a moment. Yet because Russia is backing Assad and we are against Assad, and yet we say we're trying to be friends with them, you cannot in the Christian world live in the world and say you're a Christian if you're living for the world. God says if you're in enmity with God, if you are carnally minded, and if you are looking to solve only the world's problems and think that this will give you eternal peace. You see, Christ is the one that came on Calvary's cross and died for us. He's the one that gave his life for us. And he came because God sent him, and this was a plan of salvation before the beginning of the world. And we find, as we look in Colossians once more, we can see Paul is telling the Colossians there, then if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things of the earth. And we find so many times we want to set our thoughts and our aims at pleasing ourselves on the things going on here in the world. We find so very plainly that we're looking for peace. There will be no peace until Christ returns. We know that. As Christians, we have been told that. We've been given the signs of the times more times than not. Christ said, when I come as a thief in the night. And when I come, open your door immediately. Don't have to run around trying to get straightened up and ready for God. If you're walking with the Lord and the Lord is number one in your heart, you can open the door immediately and invite him in to hit your home or your heart. And those are the ones that are ready and waiting for Christ. Yes, we live in this world of sin. Yes, we have to make our living here. Yes, we love those who despite us, those who reject us, and God has says, love your enemies and do good to them. For in doing that, you build heaps of coals on their head, but you yourself will receive a reward. You see, there was a man, I know he's still living, and he taught for 3 summers. Every 2 weeks he would go and teach in Crimea. And he said the second year he was there, this man came in and sat down at the end of their Bible study when they were having Bible study. And after the Bible study, he came up to this friend of mine and he says, I want to introduce myself. I'm Vladimir Putin. And he said, I came to see what you were teaching my people. Vladimir Putin knows God to the point that he knows that God will not tolerate sin. And even though Vladimir Putin is not living for the Lord, he knows that those who do not live for the Lord will be punished and end up in hell. He knows that. He's heard that. And he has studied some religion that tells us when you read his history. You see, this friend of mine said, I taught one more year and then they closed the school down. They don't want to hear about Christ over there, but we have to pray for them. We showed a film one night where there was 300 Russian Jews who was taken from Russia to Israel, and the Jewish rabbi that had accepted Christ preached Christ to them. And that was the first time many of them had heard about the Lord. That was the first time many of them knew that there was a Jesus that they could pray to. Are you willing to step then out of your comfort zone and be willing to be used of Christ? There was a Barnum survey, and I've said some about it, and there was about 24% of the people that answered that survey. They claimed to be Christians, and they claimed to have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I'm not asking for a raise of hands. How many of you claim Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I think everybody would go like this. If you do, in this Barnum poll, 24% of those people said, we don't have to tell anybody about our salvation. Christ said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before God and his holy angels. If you profess me before men, I will profess you before God and his holy angels. What a dire warning, and what a statement for us to live by. Are we willing to stand up, even if we're rejected, even if we're made fun of, even if we're talked about, and say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, because he died on Calvary's cross? You know, in Colossians, it tells us that if we go back and want these things in the world, and it named many of them, it says we have a carnal mind, and our carnal mind will not get us into heaven, because it tells us if we're carnally minded, we're an enemy of Jesus Christ. And if we're an enemy of Jesus Christ, we will not receive eternal glory from him. But we must live for him. And Paul is talking to the Christians in Colossae. If we look in Timothy, and we can go into Timothy chapter 6 or chapter 6 and read, I'd like to read verses 3 through 5. Get the right page here. If anyone teaches otherwise, and this is that we must live for Christ. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is oppressed with disputes and arguments over words, from which comes envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions. Unless wrangling of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself, is what Paul is telling Timothy as he writes to him. The sixth verse, now godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, When we came into the world, we brought nothing into the world, and we will take nothing out. But we can take our souls, and they will belong to Jesus Christ because he has made us whole. As he straightened this woman up, he made her whole. And what did she do? She glorified God. And all of Jesus' enemies that were there went away because they had nothing to say. Christ came into the world to die for our sins. He came into the world and gave himself to die on that cross of Calvary. And on that cross of Calvary, he shed his blood for you and for me. And it's on that cross of Calvary that we have eternal life. It's on that cross of Calvary where Jesus says, come unto me and lean not on your own understanding, but on the understanding of God. And we will live for him forever. We can sing praises to him. We can teach others about him. And we can live in such a way that people will not only know Christ is in us, but they will want what we have. You see, we do it for our loved ones. We do it for our family, our relatives. Let's do it for those we come in contact with, our business associates, and anybody else. God gives us the opportunity, and he will continue giving it until the day he comes. But we find Satan is doing more and more that he can to disrupt our world, our lives, and the lives of those around us, so we don't think on Christ, but we think on worldly things to keep our minds off of Christ. Christ says, learn of me. The closer you draw to God, the closer God will draw to you. And this is our prayer, that we would draw close to God day by day, and that we would not only ask him to teach us how to pray, but that he would keep us in his glory, keep us in his peace, keep us and give us the understanding that we need to serve him and him alone, because the time is short, and the time is very, very short as we look at the world situation. We have seen the signs of the times, and we know it is in a very, very near future that Christ will come again, calling us out of here. It could be one by one, or it could be all at the same time. But we do know this, that if we are not ready, we will be left behind. And if we are left behind, is it because we have carnally tried to serve God in our own thoughts, or have we given our heart and life to Jesus, asking him to be our Lord and our Savior? Heavenly Father, help us to have you first in all that we say or do. Help us to have you first as we take communion, and that as we take communion, we remember what you have done for us. I pray, O God, that you will be with us now. Help us and keep us in your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer again.